Dr. Crane on the keyboards. I love it. Brando on the synthesizer back there. Me, I'm just singing along. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe off today. Dr. Crane in studio, Brando behind the board. Let's bring in our good friend Terry McCormick from Titan Insider. Main Street Media was at the press conference today. Terry, you got a little chuckle out of Brian Daboll, man. Give me your impression about Daboll meeting meeting all you guys today.
Well, seems like a good guy, you know. Seemed to, you know, didn't mind cracking a joke or two, but also seemed very serious about his craft and what his plans are for trying to fix this offense.
Did, you know, his talking about Cam Ward, I know he's going to get into it more later on, about why he wanted to trade up for Cam Ward last year, basically giving so much to the franchise. Did the answer give you enough, or do you still need to hear more about his affinity for Cam Ward?
Well, I think he likes what Cam is and can be as a player. You know, he didn't go into great detail about it when I asked him, but he did seem to think that, you know, there's a lot there to work with Cam, and he has a track record of having had success, like with Josh Allen, who was a very raw prospect and also, you know, needed a lot of work, but then, you know, turned into something with the Buffalo Bills. And if he gets close to that with Cam Ward, then it's a win-win for the Titans and Ward.
Terry McCormick's on the line with us here on the Chase and McJoe Show. Terry, when it comes to offseason additions for this Titans offense, obviously he didn't mention anything about roster additions or subtractions, but where do you think Daboll looks when it comes to adding players to this team?
I think that, you know, they've got to add more at the skill position. I think you need another running back. You need at least two wide receivers. You need a tight end. And then in the trenches, you need a right guard and possibly a center, depending on what you do with Lloyd Cushenberry, if you keep him or if you release him. So there are lots of pieces, and he said that they've been going through free agents right now just to try and figure out, you know, who's available and who fits what they want to do. So I think that that is the biggest thing that they've got going for them, is to try and figure all this out in a short amount of time.
How refreshing was it to hear a coordinator like Brian Daboll say, you know, about quarterback development, something that will unite a room and help instill confidence in a quarterback like that? Whereas Titans fans are probably thinking, this is a franchise that's always had the quarterback yips, and now you finally have some direction with a guy like Brian Daboll.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly seems that way, you know, because, you know, they thought they had that with Brian Callahan, and it didn't work out. But it's one of those things where they certainly hope that, you know, Brian Daboll can be the answer for this offense to unlock Cam Ward and to try and, you know, have a franchise quarterback really for the first time since Steve McNair.
And what did you think about the way he described this, the job, of how attracting it was? He mentioned it was a youthful roster, and they mentioned a few players here and there about just name-dropping them. But what did you think overall about his assessment of coming into Nashville as this next venture in his career?
Well, I think that it's a situation where he knows there's a lot of work to be done, but there is some young talent available on this roster. So I think as you go through, you know, and it's not quite a blank canvas, but it's pretty darn close because there are so many young players involved.
Gus Bradley today, Terry, met the media. And then, like, I get it. Saleh's going to call the defense, and I'm still mad about Nick Holtz being called offensive coordinator when he never called a damn play. Your thoughts on Gus Bradley today?
Well, Gus Bradley said that he came here because of his relationship with Robert Saleh, how well they worked together in San Francisco. And I think even though Robert Saleh is going to call the defense on game day, he said there will be a lot of communication regarding what plays they want to run and what they want to do, and he will be involved on game day. It'll just be Robert Saleh's final decision as to what play they run.
Do you feel like the relationship between Saleh and Gus Bradley is pretty solid, where Gus Bradley could challenge Saleh if he didn't think something's good?
I think so. I think Saleh would listen to him because, especially as a defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley has some skins on the wall. He was the architect of that Legion of Boom defense in Seattle. So when a guy like that offers an opinion, I think Robert Saleh is smart enough to listen to it and evaluate it and say, hey, maybe that is the right approach to take.
Well, you know, it's refreshing, you know, to hear the coordinators talk and have kind of a plan and all be on the same page together. I mean, I think this is a good day for the Tennessee Titans.
I agree. I think, this is an experienced coaching staff that's starting to shape up a little bit, and we'll see where it takes it, because when you don't have a lot of veterans in the room to lead a locker room, you need veteran coaches, guys who've been there and done that and can kind of identify, you know, not only be leaders, but identify guys and players that they can develop into leaders. So I think that's something that counts for a lot, too, with this coaching staff.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, Main Street Media, Titan Insider. Terry, did your ears perk up a little bit when Daboll said he's talked to Cam, who's rehabbing in the building?
Yes. I mean, but that's not unusual. When you have an injury to end the season, you're allowed to be in the facility to do your rehab work. And I think we all knew once that shoulder was sprained that it would be a several week, maybe a couple of month process before he'd be able to really start doing a lot and getting back on a football field. So there's some time for that to happen. We'll see how far he advances by the time the offseason program starts in April.
Terry, when it comes to the recovery process with Cam Ward, obviously with that sprained shoulder, the question was asked about Cam Ward's mechanics. I think TD asked that question. Do you see there any concern there when it comes to mechanics and Cam Ward and that relationship with Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all were a little bit concerned about Cam Ward's mechanics because you saw him miss a lot of easy throws last year. There were times when guys were open and he missed them where it could have been a big play. And I think that in terms of that, that's something that he knows he has to work on. That's a part of his game that's got to get better if he's going to take the next level. Now, that said, you know, he still has a knack for making the spectacular play on occasion, and you don't want to take that away from him, but he's got to learn to operate and do the routine things correctly and then know when it's the right time to take the big chance and make the splash play.
Terry, do you think Daboll is going to have that complete autonomy to run that offense without any Sala looking over his shoulder or anybody else?
I think he probably will have as close to autonomy as you can being an assistant coach. I think, obviously Robert Sala is going to have the final say, like if whether or not they go for a 4th-and-1 or whether or not they decide to go for 2 after a touchdown or kick a field goal here rather than go for it or punt, those sorts of things. But I think in terms of the operation of the offense in calling the plays and determining what personnel's on the field and how they want to do things, that's going to be Brian Daboll.
Was there one thing you wish Daboll would have talked about more in depth that he didn't do today?
I wish he would have maybe told us a little bit more about his plans to shape the roster, but I get it that it's very early in the process, and they probably don't know who they're going to have on this roster completely, offense or defense, for that matter. The coaching staff's only been together about 3 weeks, but, you know, it would have been nice to say, well, you know, we have plans for this guy and that guy, but obviously that's a little early for that.
Do you think by him saying that, like, Borgonzi would go to him and say, hey, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? Does it seem like they're all on the same table together? Because, you know, in years past, it's kind of like, oh, we brought this guy in, and why did you bring him in? And it sounds like they're all on the same page.
Yeah, it does. And Gus Bradley kind of alluded to that because I asked him about, you know, the cupboard being pretty bare at cornerback and what type of cornerback he wanted. He said, we'll go to the scouts. We'll show them film of things that we like out of cornerbacks, you know, and the scouts will – you know, look for and find those traits and then, you know, go and find players who fit that. And I was like, well, that sounds like a pretty good plan.
It does.
Yeah, Terry, when Gus Bradley was talking to the media earlier today, did he mention anything about Aaron Whitecotton and just the development when it comes to the interior defensive line?
No, that didn't come up, but it did come up. He was asked about Devondre Sweat, who's a 3-4 nose tackle and is now going to have to find some kind of role in a 4-3. And he's, you know, he didn't want to sound prejudgmental. He just said, I'm going to watch the tape on him and every player, and then everybody gets a fresh start, and we'll see where they fit.
So with that being said, could you see him as a potential trade option?
I wouldn't rule it out, especially if they feel like he can't find a good role in a 4-3 scheme versus a 3-4.
Terry McCormick is with us. You're going to the Combine next week?
I am. I'll be there a couple of days, and get to hear from Sala and Borgonzi.
Reuben Bain and Bailey from Texas Tech, are those guys going?
Oh, yeah, they'll be there. I'm pretty sure. Most all the top prospects will be there.
Oh, that'll be good, because I think hopefully one of those two ends up here in Nashville in April sometime out there. Do you want to talk? I mean, what would you ask like Bain and Bailey about coming to Nashville, right? I mean, that'd be playing with a defensive-minded coach would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd probably just ask them how they would see themselves fitting in a Robert Saleh-type defense, because I think Saleh's going to want to look for difference makers who can come in and play right away. And I think, those two guys certainly fit the bill, just a matter of how you want to use them.
I love it. Terry, as always, thank you. We will lean on you next week when you're up in Indianapolis, man. We always appreciate you. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Terry McCormick, Main Street Media, Titan Insider, getting the lowdown from the guys over there today.
That guy right there, not an airplane clapper.
Terry?
Yeah.
Absolutely not an airplane clapper.
He respects the other ears of people on the plane.
Yeah, he's just like, get me off the plane. We've had an addendum, though, to our airplane. We had a topic earlier about what on-air staff here would clap when the plane goes down. I'm getting a lot of pushback on Robbie Stanley. I think Robbie would still – you guys say you wouldn't clap. I think Robbie Stanley is a airplane landing clapper.
I think he would laugh at other people clapping on the plane. I don't think he would be the one to clap on the plane, though.
But so do we replace him with Rex Road?
Yes.
So it's Rex Road and Vingan, right? Those are the airplane clappers.
I think Rex Road for sure.
I think Vingan as well. And probably Willie.
Yeah, somebody in the text I mentioned Willie too. I don't know.
Not Jake Lyman. He's not. No. Jake's a follower. He would clap when somebody else is clapping.
Right. Would Chase clap?
Chase?
Yeah.
Hell no, he won't. We talked about this. We were like, don't do it. I think you would clap.
No.
I think you would.
No, I think you're so nice and so genuine. People take my kindness for weakness. I do not clap on a plane.
The next progressive, we had Dr. Rick on 2 weeks ago. The next progressive commercial should be the plane landing, clapping. I think you should be in that commercial clapping. He's like, no, we don't clap.
I think I should just produce the commercial. I shouldn't be in the commercial.
Have you seen the one about the manhole cover?
Yeah, is that an outside the house?
Yeah.
It's
like, we'll be back. We'll be back in a little bit. And he's like, no, we won't. All right, we'll take a little break. Come back and react to Terry McCormick. At 2 o'clock, Chase talks to Brady Shea, the U.S. Olympic team. We'll hit the ice 2:10, 2:15 today, taking on Sweden. Canada beat Czechoslovakia, whatever it's called now.
Czechia. 4-3 in overtime.
Better check yourself. They won in overtime. So the USA now will take on Sweden at 2:10, 2:15, whatever. And Chase had a good interview with Brady Shea before that. All right, back with more. The Chase and Big Joe Show right here. Brought to you by the Omni National Hotel, 102.5 The Game.